Welcome to Health for Life, your trusted source for health and wellness insights, proudly presented by Vitruvian Health, the comprehensive healthcare system serving Northwest Georgia and Southern Tennessee with leading entities like Hamilton Medical Center and Bradley Medical Center. We're dedicated to keeping our communities healthy and thriving.
Today we're talking with Dr. Hector Duran, a board-certified, fellowship-trained vascular surgeon with Hamilton Vascular Center. Dr. Duran, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Today we're going to talk about two major types of vascular diseases, that is a venous insufficiency and peripheral artery disease. Dr. Duran is here with us to help break down these differences between the two diseases, as well as how they could be similar in some ways and when you should actually seek that help. And let's just start with the basics. Do veins and arteries work differently?
They do. Arteries and veins are basically the highway for the blood flow. Mm-hmm. And so all of your blood flow originates in your heart. It gets pumped out of your heart, goes into your lungs. From there, it gets oxygenated. So the red blood cell is able to carry oxygen in it, and that is what we call oxygenated blood. And then that gets pumped out of the lungs and back out into the circulation through things called arteries. Arteries are what carry oxygenated blood. And arteries go everywhere you have living tissue, you have arteries. Different sizes, but all of that arterial oxygenated blood, that is what's carrying those red blood cells, the arteries, out to the tissues. The tissues, in turn, are able to extract that oxygen from the red blood cell, and then they use that oxygen to perform whatever, you know, function they have. And then that blood, the same blood, just now without oxygen, is now what we refer to as venous blood. Okay. And venous blood travels back through your veins. And wherever you have an artery, you have at least one vein. And so the arterial oxygenated blood goes in, the tissue extracts the oxygen, turns it into venous blood. The venous blood has to make its way all the way back to the heart so that it can then get pumped through the lungs, turn back into oxygenated blood, and then it just starts the whole circuit all over again. Arteries are under pressure. That's the way arterial flow gets pushed. Veins are under less pressure. The difference between the pressure that is exhibited on the arterial side, so the arteries are a pressurized system, that is where you're generally going to have plaque buildup because of that pressure. And so that's where the risk factors for peripheral artery disease, PAD, which again is high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, and smoking, that generally happens on the arterial side. And so on the pressurized side, where you have blockages, plaque buildup within the arteries that restrict blood flow from getting to these tissues. The tissues without blood flow, then they break down. And then the veins, on the other hand, are the passive blood flow that is just being pushed basically back up towards your heart. And generally what we see on the venous side is more of a congenital thing, chronic venous insufficiency. That is hereditary problem that people have on the venous side.
So you mentioned before with like the symptoms between these two things, how they do differ from each other?
Yes, they do. So on the arterial side, when you have plaque buildup, when you have blockage, when you have lack of arterial blood flow, oxygenation to the tissues, mm-hmm. then you're going to get muscle cramping, oftentimes described as claudication. So in other words, you walk a certain distance and then you start getting Charlie horses in your calves because of lack of oxygen to the muscles. That is what is referred to as claudication. That can progress all the way to something called rest pain. And so in other words, people who are laying in bed and they have to dangle their leg off the side of their bed in order for their leg to get blood flow because the gravity will help the blood flow down to their foot. That's called rest pain. So in other words, their foot hurts all the time, whether they're working, walking, or resting. That is a much more advanced level of arterial disease. Now, venous disease generally manifests itself as swelling, as discoloration, as varicosities, that little blue lines that show up on your legs, bulging veins. all of that is on the venous side, and it generally is caused by pooling of blood in your lower legs because the veins are not working properly. Veins are supposed to have a one-way valve. In other words, venous blood is supposed to be passively pushed back up towards your heart. Mm-hmm. When those valves are not working properly, then you get blood that has a difficult time making its way back up to the heart. And so then gravity takes over and it tends to pool in your lower legs. That causes swelling. It can progress all the way to, you know, weeping legs, ulcers, and things like that. That's what you see on the venous side.
Is it possible for people to have both of these at once?
We will oftentimes see people, like I said, they have different origins. So the peripheral artery disease is more of an acquired problem, and it is caused by high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, and smoking. However, the venous disease is hereditary. So you can be, you know, you can inherit your mother's genes for venous insufficiency, and where your mother may not have ever had peripheral artery disease because she didn't smoke. You know, she wasn't diabetic. Well, it turns out that you are diabetic and you do smoke. Well, you inherited the venous insufficiency from your mother, so you're going to have that. And then you acquired those conditions of diabetes and smoking that has now given you the peripheral artery disease that your mother maybe didn't have.
Wow. So it's just a lot of factors that has kind of tumbled down.
Yeah. So peripheral artery disease is more of an acquired condition, whereas the venous insufficiency is more of an inherited condition.
It's a pretty scary reality that, like, it's such a slow builder to where, like you were saying, people just have no idea.
It is. It, absolutely. People, you know, when they're in their 20s and they decide that, you know, they want to start smoking, terrible idea. Because I can guarantee you that by the time you hit 40 or 50, you're going to be regretting that decision. Smoking, of all those risk factors that we talked about, the high blood pressure, the diabetes, the cholesterol, and the smoking is the one that is controllable. People can control whether they smoke or they don't smoke. And of all those diseases or all those processes, I would tell you that I probably see more people with smoking as their risk factor than any of the others.
What is an actual vascular evaluation like for people who need it?
So when you come into the office, we take your history. We talk about whether you're having claudication type symptoms. We talk about whether you're having restlessness in your legs at night. We talk about what your family history is, whether you do have a history of diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, what medications you're on. Then we do a full physical exam. We examine you from top to bottom. We listen to your blood vessels. We feel your blood vessels. We are able to determine, you know, what your pulse exam is. And then we oftentimes will order some ancillary studies such as ultrasounds. We have an ultrasound lab in our office where we do a variety of ultrasounds all the way from your carotid arteries to your aorta looking for aneurysms to your lower legs looking for blockages. And we are able to, with those ultrasounds, look inside the blood vessels, measure the blood flow in those blood vessels, and determine the degree of peripheral artery disease. On the venous side, we are able to also determine if your veins are incompetent, meaning that those valves are not working the way they're supposed to work, and you have something called reflux. Reflux in the veins, on the vein system, is where if those one-way valves in your veins are not working properly, then blood's flowing backwards in your veins. Mm-hmm. And we're able to see that on ultrasound. And then that helps us to confirm not only that you have a certain condition, be it venous insufficiency or peripheral artery disease, but we are able to determine the degree of the process that you have. And so with peripheral artery disease and with venous insufficiency, obviously there are different levels of it. So you can have very mild peripheral artery disease. You can have very severe peripheral artery disease. You can have very mild venous insufficiency, or you can have severe venous insufficiency. And so depending on where we're able to put you in that scale, will pretty much determine the frequency that we need to follow you in order to monitor this disease and any kind of treatments that we can offer you in order to make you better.
Are the treatments similar in any way?
No, not really. Because since the etiology, so these both of these conditions are born out of different problems, then the treatments are different. So on the venous side, we talked about that it is these valves that are not working properly. So you have incompetent valves. It's a mechanical problem. It generally requires a mechanical solution. The stockings are, compression stockings are a mechanical solution. We also do these procedures in your veins to put small catheters into the veins.
Yes.
And we're able to get rid of veins that aren't working properly that way. We're also able to do sclerotherapy. On the arterial side, however, generally that is where we are having, you're dealing with plaque buildup. And so this is organs or limbs that are not receiving as much blood flow as they need. It's our job to try to improve that blood flow to try to get it better. We start off with very mild, you know, from very conservative treatment, such as risk management. So in other words, getting rid of smoking, making sure your blood sugar is under control, your cholesterol is low, your sugars are good. We talk about exercise programs. Exercise actually helps. Actually, exercise helps in both. So the venous, on the venous side and the arterial side, exercise is actually one of the main components of treatment that we certainly encourage. And then on the arterial side, beyond that, then we're talking, there are some medications that do get prescribed, cholesterol-lowering drugs and things like that. There is no drug that gets rid of plaque, okay? And so once you have developed plaque in your arteries, there is no drug that gets rid of it. There are drugs that can slow down the progression of it. However, no drug gets rid of plaque. And so that's where, at times, we have to intervene and we have to do some procedures. Generally, we start off with very minimally invasive procedures, such as what's called an arteriogram, which is where we're able to go in through your groin through a very small little straw-like opening. And with catheters and wires and things, we are able to either balloon arteries, shave out the plaque. We're able to put stents in. We're actually able to treat the plaque with balloons that have drugs on them. So we're able to deliver these drugs directly to the lesions within the artery and help to improve the blood flow.
I think, like, just overall from talking to you here, doing all these shows, it's just truly crazy how intricate and, like, just so many tiny things in the human body that can go wrong.
Oh yeah, it's definitely something that you don't really know what you're getting into on any given day. You can see, as a vascular surgeon, we see a variety of pathologies. So in other words, we are able to treat a lot of different areas, which makes it very rewarding.
I bet it does. And thank you once again for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on. If people want to get into contact, where can they find you?
So they can find us at Hamilton Vascular Center. Dr. Hartley and Dr. Duran, we both work there. We have our vascular lab, like I said, where we do ultrasounds there. We also have a couple of nurse practitioners, so we're there 5 days a week.
Wow. Well, hey, thank you for joining us on Health for Life.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Health for Life, a presentation of Vitruvian Health, formerly Hamilton Healthcare System.